This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hold your own in a sports conversation, get a better pub quiz score, or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Welcome into the locker room on Joy 94.9, your show for news, views, and interviews about sport and our community. Thanks to SJ and Chris from Crash for bringing Melbourne home in the drive slot tonight on this very balmy evening. I can just feel a little bit of tennis in my soul, and maybe even the old cricket bat maybe coming out very shortly.
It's that time of the year, that's for sure.
I know. I can just imagine. Oh, I'm getting quite excited. Thanks also to Gary Wilson for his news and, of course, his ever-going innuendo. We love it. So tonight in the locker room, we clean out a pile of muddy old rugby boots to reveal what's happening both at the grassroots level and on at the international stage in world sport, all from a queer perspective. My name is Mark Rowland, and I'm joined as usual in the sheds tonight by Smithy and Adam. Welcome, lads.
Welcome, and it's good to see we've had the first fine of Mad Monday already.
And what a way to start it, too.
I'm not going there. Anyway, Smithy, tell us what we've got on the show tonight, eh?
Well, we're going to ask what happens when an AFL player comes out, because we don't know yet, but a new Melbourne play, The Sheds, is going to have a stab. We'll speak to Patrick, the star of the show. We speak to rugby guru Ben Lankin. You might remember him. He used to appear on this show from time to time.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Ben who?
I think we just couldn't get David Pocock this week.
Yeah, so that's right.
Stuck with Ben Lankin. Next person is Ben Lankin. So.
He hangs around Sydney these days, and he was at the one-year launch party of the Bingham Cup. That's the World Cup of gay rugby teams.
You know Kay Rudd was there, don't you?
Yeah.
I think that Ben may have had a selfie with him, so we'll have to check that out.
Ben's going to give us the rundown on the cup and new moves in rugby to promote inclusion for our community. We'll also give you the latest on sport in our own backyard here in Melbourne, including from the Melbourne Rovers, that's the soccer team, and from the Melbourne Argonauts in rowing. Plus, the latest on what's been happening in sport this week, including all the AFL finals action.
It's finals season.
It's September. I can just smell the excitement in the air around Melbourne this week. It's fantastic.
No one can see it, but I'm doing the Leighton Hewitt. Come on!
Yeah, it's... Well, it was said that Melbourne got to play a game on 1 September this year, so they got some September action, Adam. They must have been pretty happy.
Yes, and then we completely lost it.
But look, here at the locker room, we do like a bit of controversy. If you hear things on the show tonight and that gets you inspired, or perhaps it gets you filled with rage, either way, we'd love to hear what you think. Perhaps, you know, something that's exciting happening in our community in the world of sport and you think we should be chatting about it. Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Plus, you can get to us via social media. You can link to that through the Joy website.
Exactly right, Smithy. You can jump on the Facebook page, and I think it's time for Rolly's Round.
It is indeed.
David Feeney, originally from Dublin, now living in Australia, has still wanted to follow his Ireland football team on their quest for the World Cup next year in Brazil. However, after checking television schedules here in Australia, he noticed that no channel was going to show it. So, fearing that he may be forced to miss the game, Feeney contacted the German company, Contago, and has actually bought the broadcasting rights to the game. So he bought the broadcasting rights for Ireland versus Sweden for just under $2,000. How about this? And he's got in touch with the Racing Channel, and they're going to help broadcast it on September the 6th. How cool is that? I think you can get the Racing Channel through Big Pond, believe it or not.
I think we've found the solution to our woes of major broadcasters not showing major sports once they bid for the rights.
Yeah, exactly.
This man's
right.
A genius.
I know. He's just showing it up. Are going to cover a little bit of Mad Melbourne. St Kilda has released a statement saying today that St Kilda wishes to apologise to advise that player Clinton Jones has offered his sincere apologies to entertainer Blake Johnston for an inverted action at a player's end-of-year celebration yesterday. So we know what's happened here, don't we, Smithy? He's
set an entertainer on fire.
Yes, but not only just a normal entertainer. The entertainer works for a firm called Dwarf My Party. Clay, so...
How do you do that inadvertently? That's what I don't understand.
Well, he may have just been running around. Look, but...
Can I just say, we can't use that card just because he is a short-statured person. If you're working for a company called Dwarf My Party, I think that kind of cuts it out.
Well, exactly. What made added salt to the wound, really, after attempting to light the dwarf on fire was Andrew Demetrio on Talking Footy on Monday night couldn't stop laughing and struggled to even cope during the show. So it sort of made things a little bit worse than they had to be. Going up to Queensland now, the Queensland Rugby Union is monitoring an investigation into an on-field claim that an ex-NRL player, Anthony Watts, bit another player on his pee-pee. During a melee...
Sorry, what?
In melee...
You just can't say that word on air. What? Can't bring himself to say that word.
And a Gold took Coast a bite of the man's penis.
Yeah, penis. A Bilabel player pulled down his shorts and alerted match officials to the alleged incident after the first half brawl sparked by Tugan's Watts and the Gold Coast Rugby League Cup preliminary final on Sunday. The player declined to make an official complaint. However, officials are reviewing the footage. What I do like about this, though...
There's footage to this?
So the Queensland Rugby Union said, like any biting charge, while this is a little bit unusual, we just have to follow procedure. Conclusive evidence may be difficult to find, as only one video camera was used at the match. And the footage, or what we find, is very small.
I reckon they'll bring out a life-size doll of a player and they'll say, show us where he bit you.
In June, so this is the guy, Anthony Watts. So in June, ex-North Queensland and Sydney Roosters utility Anthony Watts, so this is the guy alleged to have bitten the penis, confirmed he had given up on his NRL comeback and had decided instead to become a member of the notorious Gold Coast bikie gang, the Finks, who have been linked with drug syndicates. Gareth Bale has got a new contract. So this is a Welsh player who's just signed up with Real Madrid for £256,000 a week. So what's that? Nearly $500,000 Australian a week. His wife has decided, and she's come out publicly and said she's not going to just be a typical wag. She's going to be his life partner and stay at home and drink wine and behave herself, which I thought was very good.
Have affairs with the poor boy. Yeah. Not a typical wag at all.
Exactly. And that is your roundup for the week.
Do you want to hold your own in a sports conversation, get a better pub quiz score, or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Smithy, there are two things that happen every September in Melbourne. One is the AFL Grand Final, of course, and the other is Melbourne Fringe Festival. We talk a lot about the Grand Final, so now it's time to talk a little bit about Fringe. Footy and Fringe should fairly mutually exclusive, but this year a new stage play to the Sheds is on a collision course for the two different cultures, and then some. So we've decided to get Patrick Chirico, the lead actor, in from the Shed to shed a bit of light. What do you think about that play on words? On this new stage play. Welcome, Patrick, to the locker room.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, what is the play about?
Well, Sheds is about a fictional football team called the Fitzroy Fighters, and their star player, Darren, comes out during the course of the season and has some major ramifications for him and his team, and we follow their journey through the season.
So without giving too much away, what prompts the coming out? Is he outed, or is he just wake up one morning and decide he wants to get it off his chest?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. The second part, it's just time for him. He's sick of hiding away from it, and he just decides to come out.
How have you found it taking on the role? Has it been tough or...?
Yeah, it has been a little bit. Yeah. But with the director, James, he's broken it down really well for me and the other actors, and he's made it really comfortable. So being able to learn a lot about the characters through him and their motives and really develop a good story.
Oh, brilliant.
And why do you think it is that we're so interested in this theme of athletes coming out, particularly in this footy-obsessed town of Melbourne? What do you think resonates with this theme with audiences?
I think it's a big issue, especially in the football and the sporting world. And no doubt that there are players out there who are struggling with this topic. So I think it's, from our perspective, it's good to see this being brought to the spotlight.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a fantastic concept, so I'm glad that they've decided to do it, of course. How long is it going for?
We're running for 3 weeks. We'll be playing Thursday through Sunday night, starting on the 19th.
And I see you've bought us in a couple of tickets.
Yeah, hoping to give a couple away tonight.
All right. So we'll be able to do that tonight, Smithy, I think. So, look, we're going to give away two tickets to this brand new stage play. So what are we going to do? Let's say we'll set a question, will we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm interested in this team you've invented, the... What do you call it?
The Fitzroy Fighters.
Fitzroy Fighters. Yeah. Sounds a little bit similar to another team that might have been running around in the AFL back in the day.
So, yes. They were the Fitzroy Lions, weren't they?
They were the Fitzroy Lions.
And they've gone somewhere. Outside of Melbourne.
That's right.
All right. So
I'm very impressed with Rolly's knowledge of this.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's been a year of education for Rolly on AFL.
So there's a team that started in 1997 that... I don't want to let too much away, but they're still in the competition, and the clue would be somewhere Lions in the word, I assume. So yeah. Text us in on 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au with your name and your Joy membership number. We don't give prizes to non-members. And, of course, the answer, and we will give those tickets away towards the end of the show.
So, incentive for people to write in. Whereabouts is the play showing?
We're playing at the Long Play Bar and Theatre on St George's Road in Fitzroy. It's a great little place down there. So, yeah.
So, what PG rated is it, or R18? We got any nudity?
It might be a bit beyond PG, I think. There's a bit of nudity and a fair bit of swearing in there as well. So, might be an adults only affair.
As you mentioned nudity, the Joy inbox is flooded with people asking for free tickets.
Funny enough, it's Rolly's number over and over and over again.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. Thanks so much for coming in and joining us in the locker room tonight, Patrick. We know it's going to be a great season, and and I know me and Smithy are going to head up to North Fitzroy. They're not too far from my place. I'll have to drag you over from Yarraville.
Yeah, I'll make it, though, especially if there's nudity.
And we'll come and see you. So, no, it sounds like a great play of... to sort of watch, really. So hopefully, you never know, we might get an AFL player come out soon, but what better than to watch one now?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
You're on the locker room. I'm Joy 94.9.
Sports news, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to the Locker Room on Joy 94.9. Rolly, here at the Locker Room, we like to embrace all of Melbourne's four footy codes. So it's about time we had a look at what's happening in the round ball game, don't you think? Some people like to call that football, but for the sake of avoiding confusion tonight, we'll call it soccer. To fill us in on what's happening in Melbourne's soccer scene, we are joined by Megan from the Melbourne Rovers. That's Melbourne's soccer club for gay guys and girls. And I believe she's actually at training right now. So welcome, Megan.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, very well. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
So just give us a sense of how many people are involved with the Rovers at the moment.
The Rovers, there's probably about 30 people, give or take, probably 10 as the year progresses, and that's a mixture of boys and girls. We play a bit of winter soccer and also some summer just social kick-arounds.
Megan, tell us, what's happening on the field this year? So what's happened so far and where's the club heading towards the end of the year?
Sure. The Rovers have been running since about 2008, mainly as a social gathering place for... gay men and lesbians, just to get together. We play a bit of soccer on a Sunday afternoon over the summer and then have a beer. But through the winter, we split up and play in respective winter comps. We usually play with the Yarra Jets, most of us. But as the Rovers, we're also part of what's called Pride Football Australia. It's a tournament that runs once a year, and it's a competition between the Melbourne Rovers teams and a couple of Sydney teams. For the boys, it's the Rangers, and for the girls it's the Flying Bats.
So Melbourne has the unified team, but Sydney has separated into the boys and the girls teams.
Well, they've been running for a lot longer than us. The Bats have been running for over 25 years, so I have to give them a promo because I used to play with them quite a long time ago, and the Rangers have been running for quite a while as well, so they're both quite well established teams, and I guess we've started only a few years ago, and we're trying to join forces a bit. I think it's a bit more the way that Melbourne runs things. It's not so exclusively girls and boys the way that it can be up in Sydney.
Megan, so you're heading up to Sydney soon.
The comp's in Melbourne this year.
Oh, fantastic. And so when's that on?
It's on the 5th of October.
Yeah.
It's at the Kevin Bartlett Reserve in Richmond this year.
Oh, okay. And are there any other associated activities with the tournament, or is it just we're just going to welcome the Sydney people down?
Well, there's a Friday night welcome, and we're yet to find a final venue for it, which people are always welcome to come along to. And then Saturday's the tournament day, and there's a it starts off at about 10 o'clock in the morning, and there's a bit of a, I guess, a more fun game before our major two games. The girls are on at 12 and the guys are on at about 2:15. We play for our respective cups. For the women, it's the Julie Murray Cup. And for the boys, it's called the Justin Fashanu Cup. So
I know a little bit about the Justin Fashanu Cup, but tell us a little bit about the cup that you guys play for. Whereabouts has it originated?
It started last year up in Sydney. Julie Murray, she used to play for the Matildas and represent Australia in a number of Olympics. And she was approached last year by the Flying Bats to become, I guess, you know, the namesake for our trophy. And she's a bit of a mentor for all of us, I guess. And so she came along and presented the cup at the tournament last year, and it was great. So she's really supportive of us and I think really excited to be part of something that's new and emerging.
Now, Megan, here in the locker room, we love a bit of Melbourne-Sydney rivalry on the sporting field. How have we been doing in this? Are we managing to beat up on our brethren in Sydney on the soccer field?
Well, with the girls last year, it was a 2-2 draw. So we're really keen to keep the cup, I guess. We've had to split it 50-50 this year and share the time that we've held it. But I think the boys have got... Yeah, last year they had one up on Sydney, and I hope that they're trying to keep that winning streak going. So.
Megan, I must have been a little bit naive about soccer. I can't figure out, is it a winter or summer sport in Australia? I know everywhere else in the world it seems to be winter. I don't understand why. So we play a little bit of summer here as well?
I think if you get addicted to the round ball game, you want to play it year in, year out. Doesn't matter what season, whether it's rain or sun. But there's a dedicated winter competition, which is it's run through the Football Federation of Victoria, and that's what I'm at training for tonight. But the Rovers mainly play in more social summer soccer. Like, we play modified rules. You know, sometimes there's seven aside. There's also a competition running called Sub Football, which the Rovers field a couple of teams in, and that's a mixed afternoon kind of game. So I think there's all forms of soccer. There's indoor soccer always running. So if you're interested in it, there's always a competition running at some point of the year. Doesn't matter what time it is.
And Megan, if people aren't really experts at soccer, yet they haven't learnt all the skills of feigning injury on the field, is that something you teach people when they want to join? Is it sort of open to people of all abilities?
Oh, absolutely. It's first and foremost, it's about fun. Definitely. We're not Premier League players in any case, and I'm always keen to convert people to soccer.
I know where you were going with that. Lucky save.
I've been playing since I was nine. I'm completely addicted, and so I'm always happy to share how it goes. And I think a lot of people find it more fun to play soccer than actually watch it. And so I think you just got to get in and give it a go.
Well, with the weather warming up and you're starting to think, well, maybe I should get out there and put the boots on and go for a bit of a run. It sounds like Melbourne Rovers are the team to start signing up for. I assume we can find you on the Team Melbourne website, or just Google Rovers.
Oh, definitely.
Melbourne Rovers. And sign up with you guys. And newbies are always welcome, and they can just join up and arrive any time, I suppose.
Yeah. That's it. We don't have much of a social kind of scene during the winter, just because we're dedicated to our comps. But I think if people are interested, they should definitely come down to the Pride Football Tournament. And Pride Football Australia is on Facebook, if you just look for it. Or send us a message through that, and we'd be more than happy to get people in touch about where they can play and places to meet up.
Thanks so much, Megan, for joining us in the locker room tonight. It's 28 minutes to 8, and you're on Joy 94.9.
The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Let's talk rugby. Let's talk about the launch of the Bingham Cup. One year from the Bingham Cup, that's the World Cup of Gay Rugby. And we thought we'd bring back our old friend Ben Lankin to talk about a bit more about it on our show.
Good evening, Ben.
Gents, good evening. Pleasure, as always.
What a sexy voice. What a sexy voice to hit the radio waves tonight.
So, Ben, yeah, tell us, what happened last week? I hear that you met K-Rudd.
K-Rudd, no, not quite.
Oh.
Last Wednesday marked 1 year, 12 months until the Bingham Cup 2014 kicks off here in sunny Sydney. And New South Wales Parliament House played host to a sensational event to mark the occasion, formed the official launch for the Bingham Cup. Kevin Rudd was not there. However, on the other side of politics, of course, Malcolm Turnbull from the Liberal Party, federal member for Wentworth, he was there and he spoke in support of the tournament and what it represents. The night was hosted by New South Wales Liberal member for Coogee, Bruce Notley Smith, attended by ARU CEO Bill Pulver, who said a few words, which was fantastic. New South Wales Independent MP Alex Greenwich, of course, from formerly from the Australian Marriage Equality, was there. Clover Moore, Lord Mayor of Sydney, former Wallaby Captain John Eales, former Wallaby Nick Farr-Jones. So a star-studded lineup for what was a sensational night. They lit up the whole Parliament House in pink, and it was a great way to, I guess, signify a very exciting event coming to the shores of Australia for the first time very soon.
Well, I'd forgotten how hard it was to get a word in with you on air, Ben. I believe there were some announcements from the AU about some new initiatives to tackle homophobia in their sport. Can you tell us a bit about those?
Yeah, there were. So the organisers of the Bingham Cup next year, the Sydney Convicts, put a bit of a call out, a bit of a call to arms to all four of the different footy codes here in Australia, and they challenged them all to adopt a policy or implement a process that will get rid of homophobia and address homophobia specifically in their sports. Bill Pulver, who's the new CEO of Australian Rugby Union, been in the job for 6 months, was the first to answer that challenge and said that by the time the Bingham Cup kicks off in August next year, the ARU will implement an anti-homophobia policy. So good on the ARU. A lot of the sports have spoken about it for a very long time, and a lot of the sports have addressed homophobia in the sense of their overall discrimination inclusion policies, but it's great to see rugby union, you know, addressing this issue specifically.
Ben, you must have been pretty proud, were you, as an Australian, to be at an event like that and to see, you know, one of the major sporting codes. I don't know of too many countries around the world that has, you know, a number of their major sporting codes coming on board with these types of policies.
Look, it was a proud moment for sure, and for someone who's been a part of, I guess, the, you know, the gay rugby movement and involved in diversity in sport for a number of years now, it was a pretty special experience. And you know, the support that was there in the room was absolutely unfathomable. The event was hugely successful. There was about 200 people there from all walks of life, from the sporting community, from the political community, you know, from the local Sydney Council right through to the federal government, all in support of the Bingham Cup. And what's great is the Bingham Cup has now become a vehicle for this message of inclusion. And it's not just about rugby or the event, which is going to be sensational, but it's about the broader message of inclusion and tolerance in sport across the country. And what better vehicle to do that than off the back of what's going to be a fabulous tournament next year.
So just quickly run us down. So Bingham is...
Well, Mark Bingham was on United Flight 93, which crashed in September 11, 2001. And Mark was a University of Berkeley rugby player, and he also founded the San Francisco Fog, which was one of the first gay rugby clubs. And he also was a part of forming the team in New York as well, because he worked between New York and San Francisco and travelled quite frequently. 2 weeks before September 11, he was successful in getting the San Francisco Fog admitted into the rugby union in the US and officially recognised as a club in its own right, which was really, really special. Unfortunately, 2 weeks after that, he did go down in Flight 93. And he was one of four young men who actually, you know, wrestled the controls of the airplane out of the terrorist hands and prevented that plane from what was its ultimate destination, the White House. So a pretty special story. And very soon a movie is coming out about Mark Bingham's story, and that'll be a great watch.
Amazing stuff. And it looks like we've got a really great tournament to look forward to in Sydney next year. Hey, Ben, it's been great to chat again and find out what's happening up north of the Murray in our great city of Sydney. Thanks for being on the show tonight, and look forward to hearing from you soon.
Talk soon.
You're in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
The locker room. Come in and get changed. Sports news, views and interviews for our community. Joy 94.9.
Look, if you don't know, if you just tuned in, the Shed is set entirely as a new stage production as part of Melbourne Fringe. Fringe rather than fridge. The Shed is set entirely within the locker room of the team's home ground, which is the Fitzroy Fireflies, Firestormers. Rife with foul language, stigma, secrets, violence and nudity. You're invited to be a fly on the wall and watch the drama unfold. So it sounds like a really exciting stage production.
Yeah, definitely something to bring your mum to, I think.
Yeah, and you can join me and Smithy there, of course. Smithy, what are you doing this Saturday night?
I'm going to go to a trivia night.
Oh, wow. Do you know what? I'm not actually going to get you to introduce it. We're going to instead talk to Tim from the Melbourne Argonauts because it's actually their event. Welcome into the locker room, Tim.
Good. Hello. How are you? Nice to see you.
Oh, thanks very much for joining us. So give us a quick rundown. So what's happening this Saturday and what are we raising money for?
Well, the Melbourne Argonauts are conducting our annual Trivia Night. It's our major fundraising event for the year. It's a lot of fun, and it's a way that the Argonauts can raise money for our much-needed boat purchases, oars and so on. It's a very expensive sport and it's a great sport, and the Argonauts have a great night on Saturday night at St Kilda Town Hall.
Look, I went last year and it was absolutely brilliant. You know, we grabbed a table, took some dinner, and not that I should be promoting clubs, but it was nice to be able to wander across to the Greyhound afterwards for a couple of ales. So give us a couple of details. So bookings are very limited and people need to get
there. The bookings have almost closed, actually, so you really have to, tonight or tomorrow morning, you can go to melbourneargonauts.com.au/trivia and book a table online. We've got a few tables left. And then, as I said, it's being held at St Kilda Town Hall, starting at 7 o'clock, and it'll be a lot of fun. And then, as you say, a lot of people pop across the road afterwards for a bit of a boogie at the GH.
So, what's the story? People bring you provide dinner and food, or what?
No, people bring their own food, but we have a cash bar and lots of prizes to bid for, as well as the questions and answers rounds as well.
And are there
and a few other surprises too?
And any bonus points available?
There will be some, I'm sure.
So what kind of, how do we win these prizes? Is it just straight trivia or is there any other competitions going on?
No, there is the straight trivia, that's an interesting way of putting it. But there's lots of trivia questions, trivia rounds, and also some special competitions as well. The famous How Gay Are You and How Lesbian Are You are very popular competitions on the night, and other ones as well that we have too that always are up for a bit of merriment, so get along and have some fun.
Riley's going to enter How Lesbian Are You?
Yeah, I came right her up last year. Thank you
I'm
so
sure you'll win.
Thank you so much, Tim, for joining us, and it's a fantastic event, so even you don't have to book a whole table, I suppose. You could just book a couple of people.
That's right, yes, and we will make sure people are allocated to a table. melbourneargonauts.com.au/trivia.
Thanks, Tim, and have a great rest of your season.
Will do. Thanks a lot.
You're inside the locker room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Smithy, it's time for the AFL segment. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but explain to me, being a Kiwi, what is this Mad Monday stuff? It sounds like you don't make it into the finals, so you celebrate.
Well, I think it's a bit of a release for the players. I think they've hit the end of the year and they've been good little boys and they've stayed off the booze and they've trained and they've worked hard and now they're celebrating the end of the season, and I guess it's a chance for them to let their hair down a little bit. It's all a bit overrated, I think.
It's funny with AFL, like these old traditions, you know, the father-son rule and things like that, and then you've now got this Mad Monday. It sounds like a tradition that, you know, probably should have finished maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but they're continuing with...
Look, I don't think so. I think it's pretty tame stuff. I'm quite happy for the players to get together and let their hair down a bit. I don't see what the fuss is about. Like, they've just got to leave the matches at home, I guess.
I mean, look, but I mean, you are a professional athlete. I can't imagine in my job, after securing a contract, we say, "Hey, let's go down to the pub, get drunk, and light a dwarf on fire." I can't see how that's appropriate.
Look, yeah, look, can we talk about the actual game on the field now?
Of course we can.
Because it's finals. I mean, it's the exciting time of the year. It's when we want to be in Melbourne in September. And there's 4 games in Melbourne this weekend. Well, in Victoria anyway, 1 in Geelong.
Yeah, that's some people have said a few things about that. So what is it, Geelong and who?
And Fremantle. And the Dockers are furious that they've been asked to play a game in the depths of Victoria in Geelong. But there were four games in Melbourne, and the AFL said it couldn't schedule two games in Melbourne on the Saturday, one on Saturday afternoon and one on Saturday on the MCG, so someone had to go elsewhere, and they've sent the game down to Sleepy Hollow.
Sorry to change subject slightly. I see Eddie Maguire was in his on the paper with his big mouth open. It was a funny photo in the Herald Sun. Something about rugby in Perth?
Yeah, well, he's committed the ultimate sin of finals football, and he's thinking one week ahead. So he's assuming that Collingwood actually win this weekend. They actually beat Port Adelaide, and they get to play another game. And they play Fremantle because, again, he's assuming that Fremantle lose against Geelong, which is not a dumb thing at all. And if that happened, the game would be scheduled in Perth, but they couldn't play on Saturday night because there's been a Wallabies versus Argentina game scheduled to be held at the same oval for quite some time. And he was furious about it. And his actual coach, Nathan Buckley, said he really wished his president had shut his trap because it's really tempting fate to talk about finals anything more than the game that's immediately in front of you.
So, yeah, I found that kind of interesting that he was coming out and he was arguing and spitting tacks, but then I thought, oh, I don't know, maybe lay off it a little bit. So, of course, North Melbourne didn't make it in, but to our Carlton supporters, they slid in.
The ultimate booby prize. Like, you get in because Essendon got booted out of the final series. Isn't that fantastic?
So Mick Malthouse must be over the moon, is he?
Oh, look, I think he'd be pretty pleased, and they'd probably be quietly confident against Richmond. They've had a couple of close matches, and they actually beat them by 10 points in one of the last few rounds of the season. So the Blues had probably backed themselves that one. It's Richmond's first finals appearance since 2001, which is incredible when you think about how popular the Tigers are.
So their hero is Jack Riewoldt. Is that? I went to the photocopier at work and somebody had printed an A3 of Jack on a horse. Somehow photoshopped. So I assume that's their icon, is it? Jack Riewoldt?
Well, he's their big spearhead. He's their full forward. So if they're going to win the game, he needs to kick a bag. Interestingly, the Tigers
kick
have...
what?
A bag.
What,
a bag of goals.
Oh, is that a specific number or is it just a bag?
It's a lot of them.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a term of art that we AFL people use to describe lots of goals in one go by one player.
I love that. So I'll go to work tomorrow, say, here, I'll handball you this and get a bag.
Kick a bag.
Kick a bag. I like that. I'm going to say that tomorrow.
Just to point out that the Richmond team itself has 17 games worth of finals experience amongst their whole playing group, and all of those finals have been with other clubs.
Oh, wow.
So there's not a single player running out there at the moment who's played a final for Richmond who's going to play on the weekend.
Their fans must be stoked. So what do they all just head down to Punt Road afterwards?
It's a big bandwagon down there at Punt Road. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, there'll be a lot of expectation, a lot of excitement about the Tigers this year.
Oh, fantastic. So if I was hanging around Melbourne and had nothing to do this weekend, which game should I go to that may be of interest?
Oh, look, I'd try to get to Hawthorn Sydney on Friday night. I think that's the big game. That's 1 versus 4, and that's really match of last year's grand final. It should be an absolute cracker.
You think it'll be a sellout?
Probably won't be a sellout because of the Swans. I reckon probably the Carlton-Richmond game will be the one that goes the closest to being a sellout. But I think you still should be able to get a ticket to most of these games if you'd like to go. But yeah, definitely looking out for last year's grand final rematch, which will be without Buddy Franklin because he got rubbed out for a week for King hitting someone on the field last week.
And of course, if you want to go on a summer holiday and wonderful beachfront, Geelong is always a great location, so you can head down there this weekend as well. That's caught you up with your AFL news. You can go to work and chat the chat. You're in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Sports news, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Anyway, a little bit of an interesting thing. So on Saturday, the 7th of September, over in Buenos Aires will be the vote for the 2020 Olympics between Madrid, Istanbul and Tokyo. So it's getting very interesting. They're all bad-mouthing each other. But, you know, with this whole thing happening with Russia, I'm very interested to see who gets it because it can really be a city transforming project.
And I'd like Tokyo to get it. That's in our time zone. I reckon that'd be good.
Well, they had it back in 64. No, not 64. Back in the 60s sometimes. I actually think Istanbul, to be honest, on the cusp of Asia, Europe, bringing us all together in the Middle East, maybe that
riot, police, political instability. Yeah, not going to happen, I don't think.
Quickly, what's happening this week, Smithy?
We've got the Storm versus the Gold Coast Titans this week. They've had a bit of a tough run. They lost last week to the Sea Eagles, but they did crush the Eels the week before, and they're heading into the final series as well. It's the last round of the NRL season. We've got the start of the one-day cricket series in England, if you're still interested in cricket. Like, that's actually still going on over there. Who knew? And on Saturday, the Wallabies are taking on South Africa in Brisbane. They're hoping to bounce back after their quite disastrous run in the Bledisloe against Rolly, your Kiwis.
Oh, don't worry. They've still got one chance to lose. That was a great show tonight on The Locker Room. Thank you to our guests. We'll catch you next week. You're in Joy 94.9.
Do you want to hold your own in a sports conversation? Get a better pub quiz score or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.